Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5, page 1001. Your Schofield Bible, 1001. Starting with the 43rd verse, we'll read through verse 48. Verse 48 is the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read these verses responsibly, and shall we stand as we always do for the reading of God's Word. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. How good it is, how wonderful to sit here Sunday after Sunday, and to be blessed over and over and over again. And surely there's no place in the world where spiritual needs are met so faithfully and so thoroughly as in this place, and we praise thee. We pray for your help now, once again, for our preacher, once again for those of us who listen. Give us of thy Spirit's power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you listen tonight, when you leave, you'll have some idea of how good a Christian you are. I'm going to give you a test tonight, and nobody's going to know how you do on the test, but you. But I want you tonight to listen very carefully, and I believe that you'll have some idea when you leave the service of what kind of Christian you are. Our Savior said, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, or your Heavenly Father, is perfect. I want to talk to you tonight on that subject, how good a Christian are you, our Heavenly Father. I do not know how good a Christian I am. I know I'm not the best one in this room, but I want to be a good Christian. And I feel there are many other people tonight in this room who likewise want to be good Christians. I pray you'd help us tonight to weigh ourselves accurately and measure ourselves properly and honestly so we can know our need for growth. Speak to our hearts in a special way. Amen. How good a Christian are you? Who is the best Christian here tonight? Who are the worst Christians here tonight? It might surprise you, after I give you the test, who the best Christians are in this room. And it likewise may surprise you as to where you stand as far as your Christianity is concerned. I want to ask you four questions tonight. The answer to these questions will let you know what kind of a Christian you are. Question number one, where are you? Where are you? I'm talking about in comparison with other Christians. Where do you stand? In other words, comparing yourself with other Christians, are you a better Christian than someone else? Are you more advanced than someone else? These questions. How do you rate in Bible knowledge with other Christian people? How do you rate in your prayer life with other Christian people? How do you rate in your soul winning with other Christian people? Are you still a baby Christian? Are you saved and that is all? Are you satisfied with just getting to heaven? Are you worldly in your dress?
your music, your habits in life? Have you grown any in the Lord? Are you any better Christian today than you were 5 years ago? Do you serve God more? Do you give more? Do you love more? Do you forgive more? Do you rejoice more? Check where you are. In other words, where do you think you are as far as your present position with other Christian people? Now, this is the only test that we usually give, or the only test that we normally take. We just take the test as to where we are as far as other Christians are concerned. For example, in this kind of a test, I have an idea that, the college teachers might be better Christians than the students. I have an idea that the deacons might be better Christians than some of the lay people. I have an idea that some of the Sunday school teachers might be better Christians than some of the others. I have an idea that some of the people singing the choir, at least from this aisle here over, might be better Christians than some of the folks that don't sing in the choir. So tonight, the first test I want to give you is the test that we normally give, and that is, where are we in relationship with other Christians? Now, many of you take that test, and you really think that you are maybe up toward the top, and so you limit your growth and do not reach your potential because you judge yourself according to where you stand in relation with other Christian people. Now then, that's behind us. Let's go to test number two, and don't get your hopes up. All these tests are not as brief as test number one. I said test number one, where are you? Now test number two, where were you? How far have you come? It may be that you are higher than somebody else, but you were a lot higher than they were when you started. So I ask you the question is, where were you? How far have you come? You may be ahead of someone who's come farther than you have. Let me show you what I mean. Let's say that, Brother Scott, why don't you stand up right there, and you're going to represent someone who didn't have a Christian home and didn't go to church as a child, had no bus captain came by, and so because of that, you've lived a pretty godless life. I'm going to represent somebody as I am, who had a Christian mother, went to church all my life, nursery, beginner department, primary department, junior high school, and all of my life. So we're going to say tonight that Brother Scott started way behind me. Now then, I grow in grace like this, and Brother Scott grows in grace, and he keeps on growing in grace. Now I want you to notice, Brother Scott has come farther than I have. Now I'm ahead of him, but the truth is, he's come farther than I have. Thank you, Brother Scott. So where were you? I made this statement in a sermon a few years ago. It just may be that the best Christian here might smoke a cigarette every once in a while, because the best Christian here may have come from the wickedest kind of a home, the wickedest kind of a background in all the world. And some of you people are looking down at people above you. So I ask you a question, where were you? Illustration. Let's compare a bus kid versus a deacon. Here's a deacon who grew up in a Christian home, who had a godly mother, had a godly father, been going to church all of his life. And here's a kid reared in hell in the ghettos in Chicago. And maybe they don't know who their mom and dad are. Maybe they grew up with a liquor bottle at their disposal. Maybe they grew up with a dad that tried to attack them. And here's a little bus kid. Now, that bus kid all of a sudden comes to church. He gets saved, goes to City Baptist School. He may not be up with the deacon, but he may have come farther than the deacon, and that's a test of being a good Christian. Let's take a mission man up here and compare him to a staff member. Here's a staff member. Let's take like Brother Young. He's here. Brother Young was reared in a Christian home, had a godly mother and a godly father. Brother Scott, the same way. Brother Lapina, the same way. Now, let's compare them to a mission man up here. Didn't go to church till he was 35 years old. Never read the Bible. Was drinking liquor when he was 5 years old. Heard his mom and dad curse and fight and lived in hell. Now, it just may be that there may be a mission man up there who's a better Christian than these three men here are. Why? Not because of where he is, but because of where he was. Now, to measure how good a Christian you are, I want you to measure where you are. The second test, I want you to measure where you were. For example, here's a City Baptist kid versus a Hammond Baptist kid. Hammond Baptist kid was placed in the nursery here when he was just a few days old and has gone all the way up through our departments. Here's a City Baptist kid, came here when he was 12, 13 years of age, and doesn't know what the Bible is, doesn't know anything about the Bible, doesn't know the songs the church sings, but that City Baptist kid, he goes to City Baptist, and he begins to grow and grow. He may not be as high as some of you Hammond Baptist kids are, but he may be a better Christian than some of you Hammond Baptist kids are, because he has come farther than you have become. Let's take a Bible club kid versus a kid reared in a godly home. Hey, that means you Hammond Baptist kids ought to be way above the City Baptist kids. And I'd be ashamed tonight, I mean this, I'd be ashamed to be a Hammond Baptist young person who grew up in a Christian home and not be a better Christian than some bus kid that never had a chance till he was 12, 14 years old. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. The idea of you getting kicked out of school or suspended from school or expelled from school or breaking the rules of school. You ought to be, and it's a tragedy that some of these poor little kids didn't have a Christian mom, didn't have a Christian dad, weren't put in the nursery as a child, didn't grow up in church, didn't have a church, didn't have a preacher, have grown more than you have. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said you ought to be ashamed of yourself. The Christian people tonight, they're adults in this room. And you're good people. Don't misunderstand me. You're good people. We got some folks at City Baptist win more souls than you do. I'd be ashamed if I were a deacon in this church and a bunch of City Baptist kids won more souls than I did. I'd be ashamed if I were a Sunday school teacher in this church or a Christian school teacher. We got some City Baptist bus kids win more folks to Christ than some of you school teachers do or staff members do. What a disgrace. What a shame. I ask you a question. How far have you come? Some of us, as I said a while ago, are looking down at some who are above us. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect. That word perfect, be perfect, means be ye therefore becoming perfect. Be on your way to perfection. Be day by day growing in grace and becoming perfect. How far have you become? I'm not asking just where you are, I'm asking where you were. And I'm asking how far you have become. There are people tonight in this room look down their pharisaical snoots at some poor person or some bus, some mission man. And I want to say it again. Those men sitting right up there are just as welcome here as you are. And those homeless people that sat here a while ago in the choir are just as welcome as you are. And the tragedy is, we had some homeless people that were rescued off of Royal Rocker Drive sitting here tonight, win more souls than some of you deacons do, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself that a fella that was on Royal Rocker Drive a year ago wins more souls to Christ than a man that's grown up in this church and a leader in this church. I'm trying to say, those of us who have the most opportunity ought to be the highest and grow the most. I ask you, where were you? Illustration. Some have grown from being an alcoholic. And they've grown from being an alcoholic to being a pretty decent Christian. On the other hand, some have grown from never touching alcohol to being a decent Christian. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you Howells Anderson College students, some of you rebels of Howells Anderson College, you just inside the rule, people. You folks that call spiritual soul-winning students hackers, for example. Some of you people that just barely stay in college and stay inside, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You sit out there in the greatest college on the face of the earth every day of your life, good night, and some guy in the rescue mission, a homeless fellow, wins more souls to Christ, reads his Bible more, and prays more than you do. It not only is where are you, but where were you? Illustration. From a prostitute to a faithful Christian. Everybody here knows, if you know Sandy Taylor, You know her background. You know she walked the streets over here of Calumet City for 20 years in this area as a prostitute. All of you know that. I'm not trying to reveal anything that you don't know. I wonder if you brought as many folks down this aisle in the last 5 years as she has. Don't you look down on somebody. Listen, but for the grace of God, you could have been reared on a Lord Wacker Drive. But for the grace of God, your dad could be a drunkard, your mama could be a whore, and you could have grown up never knowing going to church. If God has placed you in a home where you got a godly mother and a godly father and a godly church and a godly preacher, let me say, you ought to praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, what God has done for me. I ask you a question, how far have you come? A lot of you people look down on Sandy, need to look up to her. So some of the most advanced Christians are not the best Christians. Some Christians who are more grown than other Christians have not grown as much as other Christians and not the best Christians. It's so easy for a church like this to become nothing more than a museum of relic Christians. Bless God, I want to pastor a church as long as God gives me breath that welcomes those rescue mission men. I want to pastor a church that welcomes those homeless people. I want to pastor a church that welcomes those deaf people. I want to pastor a church that welcomes those bus kids. I want to salute tonight many of you who have not come as, you're not as far advanced as I am, but you come farther than I am. And I'd like to say, I wouldn't be surprised if what there were some Christians in the choir tonight during the homeless program who are better Christians than I am or better Christians than you are. I'm trying to say, thank God for those people that got a late start, but they're catching up step by step by step. How good a Christian are you? I ask you, where are you? Secondly, I ask you, where were you? As I said a while ago, the best Christian here may smoke an occasional cigarette. Now, hold it now. I'm against smoking. I like what R.G. Lee said. If God had intended your nose to be a stovepipe, he'd made it out of brick and put it on the top of your head. I'm against smoking. I think smoking is of the devil. I think smoking is sinful. But, tell you what, a lot of these folks came from the pit of hell to trying to give up cigarettes, and the rest of you came from just barely inside, were reared inside the church. And the church is your second home. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, not only are those babies supposed to grow, but middle-aged Christians are supposed to grow, and older Christians are supposed to grow, and 72-year-old Christians are supposed to grow. I ask you, how good a Christian are you? Where are you, and where were you? Third thing I want to ask you, how far do you have to go? How far do you have to go? Not where you are, but what you could be. Follow me carefully. God has a potential for every single Christian. Each potential is different. God may want one Christian to go this far. God may want another Christian to go this far. And God may plan another Christian to go this far. I ask you, how close are you to what God planned for you to be? How near your potential are you, if you please? I'm simply saying, you are as good a Christian as your nearness to your potential. So, three tests so far. One is, where are you in relation to the people, of the Christians? Two, where were you? How far have you come? Three, how far do you have to go? Now, let me give you some observations. One is, don't estimate your potential. Don't try to figure out what your potential is. You may underestimate it and be a failure. You may overestimate it and give up. Just keep on doing your best. And keep on going forward and just see what your potential is. Then keep learning from those above you. Illustration. When God called me to preach, I never thought I'd pastor a full-time church. When I was in college, as most of you know, I took a double major. A major in Bible and a major in secondary education with a history as my teaching field. Because I felt that I would never be able to be a full-time preacher. I felt that I'd never make enough money to pay my salary. I'd have to supplement my salary. And I didn't want to work in the secular field as I wanted to invest my life in people. So I studied to be a preacher and a school teacher. But there's one thing I did. I gave it my best. I gave it my best. And I studied those ahead of me. And I watched those ahead of me and even copied some of those people ahead of me. Every once in a while, some nut will stand up at Howells Anderson College and say, be yourself. Don't copy anybody. Don't try to be Lee Robertson. Oh, shut up. Go ahead and try. We could use a few more. I'm saying tonight, I gave it my, I did not have any idea I could ever pastor 200 people. Miss Howes and I used to stay out in front of the First Baptist Church to go to Texas, 3 miles from where our little church was, and the average is 106 in Sunday school. And we used to sit out there in the car and watch those people go in, and I said to Miss Howes, you think we'd ever pastor a church that big? We got almost that many in the choir tonight. 106. I never thought I'd pastor 106 people, but I'm trying to say I didn't know what my potential was, but I'll tell you what I could do. I could give it my best. I could give it all that I had. I could look at those ahead of me and try to emulate them, and I did not know what my potential was. By the way, don't ever feel you've reached your potential either. Can you imagine what would have happened if I'd retired at 65? You know, I've probably had more people saved since my 65th birthday than I have the first 65 years of my life. What am I saying? I'm saying I want to reach my potential. We wouldn't have had a Pentecost Sunday, or a second Pentecost Sunday, or a third Pentecost Sunday, or the 5,000 baptized, of the Sunday we're going to have this spring. Sort of priming the pump here a little bit. I'm saying, well, thank God I didn't say, well, I'm 65 years old. We have the largest church in the world. I may as well give it up and retire. No, sir, bless God. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. I don't know what my potential is, but I know I'm going to give it all I can to reach it before I get to heaven. Okay? Where are you so far? Three tests. One, where are you? Two, where were you? Three, how far do you have to go? It may be that Brother Keith, you stand up here. It may be that Brother Keith is ahead of me, but it may be that his potential is over there and mine's right here. And he may be look like a better Christian than I do. He may pray more than I do. He may win more souls than I do. But it may be that since his potential is way over there and mine is right here, it may be that I'm nearer my potential than he is. Ask your question. Have you reached your potential? How can I know? If you're still alive, you haven't done it. Thank you. So give it all you got. I want to be everything God intended for me to be. I'm sick of Christian people. I don't know it. I don't care. All I want is my rocking chair. I love the church. I love Brother Hyde. I love the choir. I love the souls to get saved. I love the baptism, but I don't have a part in it. And the simple truth is, there are people all over this room. If everybody won as many souls as you do, got as many folks baptized as you do, brought as many folks to church as you do, this section right here could hold our crowd. Where are you? Where were you? How far do you have to go?
There's a fourth.
How good a Christian are you? Decide what you are in compared to the creation of the people. How good a Christian are you? Decide how far you've come. How good a Christian are you? Decide how far you could go or how far you have to go. Number four. If you have and are trying to reach your potential, number four is there is another level, and that level is helping others reach their potential. Where am I? Where was I? How far have I come? How far do I have to go? How close am I to my potential? Then, if I'm getting all I've got and trying to reach my potential, I'm supposed to help others reach their potential. And if you're not doing that, you're not as good a Christian as you ought to be. I'll give you an example. I believe that my potential by myself of pastoring a church, I believe I could pastor a church of 1,500 people without any help. I mean without assistant pastors like we have here and some out in the audience. So if there's credit, I'll take the credit for the first 1,500 people. Now, from that 1,500 to 20,000, here's the credit. Because I have tried to help this man reach his potential. I've tried to help this man reach his potential. I've tried to help this man reach his potential. I've tried to help this man reach his potential. So I'm simply saying that this church, I know a preacher who cannot preach me. I know a preacher who's about my age, never got over 750 in Sunday school. Though I think he came pretty close to reaching his potential, but it so happened that's as high as he could go. So what happened? He did not help anybody else. He didn't find a Ray Young, Ed Lapina, a Jack Scott, or Jeff Owens, or Roy Moffitt. He didn't find people like that. Because of that, this preacher is a greater preacher than I am. I stayed under 1,000 in Sunday school all of his ministry and never did become what he could have become. Why? Because he did not help other people reach their potential. One of my boys, pastored him for nearly 40 years. I'm proud of him. I believe, Brother Roy, I've had a little part helping you come close to reaching your potential. Because of that, you have 1,500 to 2,000 people coming on buses every Sunday morning, a bus ministry, using lay people, not college students, but lay people. Now, I'm proud of this fellow. And Jack Hiles, though my name's on the stationery, and they say, Jack Hiles is church. Bless God, I know where my bread's buttered. Let me stand up here. Here's a man right here that I believe I've helped him reach his potential. And now he's the greatest youth director in America. Why? Because I wasn't satisfied with what I do. I want to help others become all they can become. How about you? Thank you. How about you? Are you helping anybody reach their potential? Four tests. Where are you? Now ask yourself the question, where are you? Compared to other people, where do you stand? Secondly, where were you? How far have you come? Oh, you say, boy, I'm ahead of this guy, but how far did he come and how far did you come? Let me say it again. I'm looking at some Hammond Baptist High School kids tonight who ought to be totally ashamed of yourselves. Totally. Hey, here is a City Baptist kid, saved out of hell, saved out of the ghettos, little bus kid, finally goes to City Baptist, goes to Hiles Anderson College. You are reared in a nursery, beginners, primaries, juniors, junior high school, and graduate and go to a state university. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, you say, preacher, I don't like it. When you said that, I never like it. Okay, get used to not liking it. I won't tell you tonight that the best Christians in this church, the best young people, ought to be those who grew up in godly homes, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself for getting in trouble at school, and you Hiles Anderson students that are in trouble ought to be ashamed of yourself if you had the privileges that you've had, and some little old poor bus kid over here struggles and gets up at 3:30 in the morning and rides a bus to City Baptist. And then works when he gets home the late at night to pay his own tuition. And your mom and daddy paid your stinking tuition. And all you've had to do is play basketball and go to school. You ought to be ashamed of yourself letting some little bus kid outstrip you. How far have you come? How far have you come? You say, you talking about me? Probably. Now you listen to me. When you stand before God Almighty, you young people who've gone to our schools, grown up in this church, you're going to face God more than the kids that go to the Catholic church across the street. They've never heard a sermon like this. They've never seen a Christian school. They've never seen people walk down the aisle and kneel at the altar. But here you are, have grown up in the greatest church on the face of God's earth. You ought to ask this everybody. So ask a question tonight. How good a Christian are you? Four things. Check where you are. Check where you were. Check where you're going, where you should be. And check how many other people you've helped to be what they should be. How good a Christian are you? Well, let's just look at it. Where are you? How much Bible did you read today? This is the Lord's Day. Of course, you can't watch, you can't read the Bible and watch a basketball game on television at the same time. I'm talking to people right here in this room. For a Christian, the fundament, you believe that Bible from cover to cover, but the cover stays shut. How much have you prayed today? Today, Sunday, God's Day. How much have you prayed today? Where are you? Now, we don't know how good a Christian you are, but the Father in heaven knows how good a Christian you are. Where are you? What kind of music are you listening to? Second test. Where were you? How far have you come? Brother Jack, stand up again, please, over you are. Let me show you where some of you are and some of the best people in this church. I love you. That's why I'm skinning you. I love you. Here's where you are. Here's a guy that comes out of the ghettos. Maybe a street person. Maybe a rescue mission man. Maybe a bus kid. Maybe saved as an alcoholic. Never had the privilege that I've had or you've had. And here you are. Opportunity after opportunity. Christian mom, Christian dad, fundamental church, Christian school. Watch carefully. Here's the way some of you are. Here's where you started, and there's where he started. Now, Brother Scott, you come on up. Do you think you're a better Christian than he is? Huh? You're ahead of him. But you haven't taken one cotton-picking step forward. Not one. Oh, yeah, you look at him and say, the stinking bus kid. God looks at you and says, stinking driving crowd. Some of you high school kids, look at me and look where you are. Here you are. Just where you were when you were 6 years old and probably not as near. You're concerned about the world than the gospel. More concerned about sports than about Jesus. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Some of you are ahead of this guy, but as far as God's concerned, he's outstripped you 10-1. Thank you, Lord God.
Let's go a step further. Lord, watch out there. Stand beside me. Here's a fellow. Let's say here's a fellow who his IQ is maybe 105. He's not a brilliant person. Let's say that he's 50 years old, never has had the privilege of going to college. Let's say he just got saved as a drunkard, just got saved. Now here I am, reared in a Christian home, nursery, beginners, primaries, juniors, used to call it intermediate department, high school, junior high department, high school department. Here I am. Now watch me. With my background and my life, my potential is probably way out there. Stand up there, Brother Vogel, right there. My potential is out there. But here's a guy that's wasted much of his life. He'll never pastor a church because he's ruined his life so far. His potential, Brother Keith, stand there. His potential's right there. Well, let's suppose that I'm ahead of him. I pray more than he does. Read my Bible more than he does. I'm ahead of him. But here is my potential out here. And here is his potential right here. He's closer to his potential than I am. Are you listening to me? Some of the most brilliant people in this church do the least for God. You guys that sell, you salesmen, you ought to be the best soul winners we have. You guys have an IQ, or gals have an IQ. Some of you gals, for example, sales lady, you ought to be the best soul winners we have. I'm simply saying, God is not just concerned about where you are. God's concerned about how far you've come, how close to what you could be you are, and what you're doing to help others become what they could be. Thank you, fellas. Now I'm through, but I want you to hear me. I hope that many folks in this room tonight feel ashamed. I love you, and you know that. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to preach the truth to the hair lips of every dog in this county. Now you listen to me. Where do you stand tonight? Hey, how about you? You're the most popular boy in the school. But you're not as good a Christian as some guy's got a wart on his nose and weighs 109 pounds and shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle. Oh, they cheer you when you dribble the ball down the basketball field and shoot. Hey, I want you to know, if you're not a better Christian than the bus kids are, God's not cheering you. No, he's not. What a shame. And you've got such potential. For you beauty queens. Up in every telephone pole you come to. Looking in the mirror of the window of the stores. Looking at how pretty you are. You know, God didn't think you were very pretty. God judges your beauty by how far you've come, where you are, how near you are to where you should be, and what you're doing to help others get where they could be. Now listen to me. So you college students tonight, perk up over there, listen to me. Some of you college students have fathers who are preaching right now, this moment. Your dad's a preacher. And you're in trouble at Howells Anderson College. You sorry good-for-nothing punk. You say, I don't think you ought to call anybody a punk when you preach. Okay, I'll call you a punko. God lets you grow up in the home of a man of God. We got bus kids that were saved 6 months ago that are better Christians than you are. How good a Christian are you? No, I'm not talking about your neighbor, you.
How about you in the choir? You on the platform? No, no, not Brother Eddie, Brother Scott, but Brother Scott. Not Brother Scott, Brother Eddie, but Brother Eddie. Not Brother Eddie, Brother Young, but Brother Young. Not Brother Colston, Brother Fruit, but Brother Fruit. And not Brother Boardway, Brother Hiles, but Brother Hiles. How good a Christian are you? Where are you? Where were you? How far do you have to go? And what are you doing to help others reach their potential? Think about yourself. Right now, think about yourself. When a college professor is not a good Christian as his students, there's something wrong. When a Christian's all across America, there are Christian school teachers tonight, not even in church. And they got students that are better Christians than they are. Now, I'm simply saying, a lot of people tonight are self-satisfied, at ease in Zion. I'm okay. You're not okay. And some of these people that you look down and forgive this statement as poor white trash or maybe even poor black trash may not be as trashy from heaven as you are. Did you see that man a while ago who walked across this platform when we had the homeless ministry a while ago? Did you see that fellow that was on Lower Wacker Drive about a year ago getting up at 3 o'clock every Sunday morning to go prepare food for the fellows that are on the Lower Rocket Drive now? Did you see that fellow? Huh? How does he compare to what you do? How good a Christian are you? Four questions, I'm through. Where are you? Where were you? Where should you be? And what are you doing to help others become what they should be? Would you bow your heads, please? My Heavenly Father, I thought an awful lot about this sermon. Awful lot. And I wouldn't hurt anybody. You know that's true. But I sure would like to have somebody convicted tonight. Complacent.